What must I do to be saved? That's the question we're going to be looking at today at the Warren County Radio Bible School. So get your Bibles and pull up a chair and turn up your radio and be ready to study with us. This question was asked by the jailer of Paul and Silas. It says in Acts chapter 16 and in verse 30, where it says, in verse 29, where he called for a light and sprang in and trembling for fear fell down before Paul and Silas. Now the question in Acts 16:30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It's perhaps the most important question we're going to ask in our entire life. And so we're going to look at the answer that Paul gave here in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me read the answer. The jailer asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, the immediate answer is in verse 31. It says, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." Now, many times, that is where people stop. They read that, they read what they want to hear, and they stop just on what they want to hear, and they don't go on and read the rest of the chapter. My father-in-law used to talk about how someday he would like to preach a sermon called "The Rest of the Verse." And even though this is in a following verse, yet it's the rest of the answer that is given. Let me read to you the entire answer. It says, Acts 16:31 through 33, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his immediately." Let's look at this answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Paul began with them at the beginning. He told them to believe in Jesus because they were not believers. Faith is the first great condition of salvation because it leads to the acceptance of Christ and obedience to his will. One may believe Christ exists and not believe in him unto salvation. He who does not follow Christ or implicitly obey him does not trust him or believe in him. Those who conclude from this declaration that salvation is through faith alone do not stop to consider what the word of the Lord in the next verse embraces or what it required the jailer and his family to do. Neither do they understand that faith without obedience is dead, James 2:20 through 26, and that faith must work through love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. "For you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ," Galatians 3:26 and 27. "And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation," Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ embraces repentance, obedience to God in baptism, and continued obedience to his will. Salvation was offered to the jailer's household in the same way that it was offered to him. For the next verse shows they were present and heard all Paul said. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house." This was necessary for the jailer and his family knew nothing of Jesus. And the answer to the great question, what must I do to be saved, they could not believe in him of whom they had not heard. For faith cometh by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:14-17. The word of the Lord embraces the gospel of Christ, its facts, commands, promises, and hope, as Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and Philip when he preached Christ to the Samaritans, and the eunuch, Acts 8 and verse 5, and verse 12, and Acts 8:35-39. Paul and Silas told the jailer and his household whom Jesus was, how he lived, suffered, died, shed his blood for the remission of sins, that God had raised him from the dead, and made him in heaven both Lord and Christ, and that they must believe in him as the Savior of men, repent of their sins, and be baptized in his name for the remission of sins. The law went forth out of Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:1-3. And the same things were preached everywhere. And those who gladly received the word of God as gladly obeyed it. Acts 2:41-42. Then we know what the jailer and his household did, what the word of the Lord embraced and requires. They would never have been baptized if the word of the Lord had not embraced this command and required it. They knew nothing of baptism or the gospel before this. They learned it from Paul. So he took them out of the house to some place where there was water for washing their stripes and for baptizing himself and his household. His acts show that he believed in Jesus. His washing their stripes and trying to undo the wrongs he had committed show his repentance. And he and all his who heard the word of the Lord believed in Jesus and were baptized immediately. There were no infants baptized in this household because only believers were baptized, and they were commanded to believe in order to be saved, and all his house believed in God, verse 34, and all were instructed in the word of the Lord, verse 32, and infants neither receive instruction nor believe, neither can they be baptized upon their own faith. Infants are already in a saved state without baptism, repentance, or faith. Paul instructed the jailer and his family to believe in Jesus as the Christ, to repent and be baptized, and they did this the same hour of the night. There was no long continued mourning and altar exercises. They were given a straightforward, direct, intelligent answer to their question, and they at once accepted and obeyed it. So with all cases of conversion in the New Testament, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16, not because he could be saved without faith and repentance, but because he was already a believer and penitent. Peter told the people on Pentecost to believe, to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ unto remission of sins, Acts 2:38, not because they could be saved without faith, but because they had already told them to know assuredly or to believe, and they were already believers when they asked further what to do. All believed, repented, and were baptized. Paul told the jailer and his family to believe in Jesus Christ because they were not believers, and in preaching the word of the Lord to them, he taught them to repent and be baptized, and to do so at once. The same results must follow the preaching of the word of the Lord today, when results follow at all. In preaching the word of the Lord today, preachers must teach the same things taught by Paul and Silas and Peter and Philip and others. Having washed their stripes and having been baptized, the jailer brought them up into his house Of course, then, he took them out of his house to perform this service. He was not baptized in his house. He brought them out of the inner prison, verse 30, into his house, where Paul spoke the word of the Lord, verse 32. He took them out of his house to wash their stripes and be baptized. For this done, he then brought them up into his house, and he set food before them. This treatment is quite different from that of the evening before, and rejoiced greatly in all his house. This is quite in contrast to the disturbed condition shortly before this. This calmness, peace, and great joy came through faith in God, having believed in God. Infants could not rejoice. Now, at the end of Acts chapter 16, we read this. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the serjeants, saying, "Let these men go." And the jailer reported the words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore come forth and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men that are Romans, and have cast us into the prison. And do they now cast us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and bring us out." And the serjeants reported these words to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, and they came and besought them. And when they had brought them out, they asked them to go away from the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Paul and Silas went back to prison, unwilling to use this occasion for their own liberty. The magistrates probably moved with fear on account of the earthquake and sent the sergeants to tell the jailer to let Paul and Silas go. The jailer reported this to Paul and Silas and bade them depart in peace, thinking doubtless they'd be glad to go. But seeking public vindication, Paul refused to go out, and thus sent magistrates word that they had beaten him, a Roman citizen, publicly, uncondemned, and they must come themselves and release him and Silas. This filled the magistrates with fear when they realized, and did realize, and therefore vindicate Paul and Silas. When Paul and Silas were released, they did not hasten out of the city. They entered into Lydia's house, their stopping place, and comforted the brethren. When they had done this, then they departed. Well, that concludes that Sunday school lesson. I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I see that the next lesson is about the time that Paul writes to the Philippians. It is a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday schools of September the 6th, 1925. The book of Philippians has four chapters. It wasn't divided into chapters when Paul wrote it. It was simply a continuous letter. And it's not a very long letter. You could read it in one sitting. And it's like a thank you note, for they had sent comfort to Paul while he was in prison. And Paul is thanking those Philippians not only for that comfort he had received, but for all the things he had received of them down through the years. And in doing so, he tells them of the condition that he is in and of his hope for what lay before him, knowing he's going into trial, not knowing how the trial will turn out, but not really worried about that, simply wanting to represent Christ faithfully. And whether he would come out alive or whether he would depart and go be with Christ, that was not his great concern. We're going to be looking at a certain portion of this letter to the Philippians when we gather for our next class. You might want to turn and mark in your book, the book of Philippians, and we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16, and then we'll jump down and look at chapter 4 and verse 8. And the golden text for this Sunday school lesson is, "I can do all things in him who strengtheneth me," Philippians 4:13.